the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
David and... So I'm going to set you a challenge. I wonder if you can turn to the person next to you, and I'd like you to pronounce for me, please, the name of the person whose story this is about. So turn to the person next to you and tell them, how do you pronounce that word? Oh, there's a couple of grumblings here. Now, I'm pretty sure that you probably fit into one of three categories. The Belmont elite amongst you, grounded in theological understanding, would have turned to the person next to you and have said, Mephibosheth. There'll be others of you that said the same word but with a slight question mark at the end. Mephibosheth? And then there'll be others of you who were probably doing phonics in school who've got as far as M-E-P-H. But we're going to be learning today about David and Mephibosheth. And I did check that with Paul Cook before we started, so that is the proper pronunciation. Okay, so we're going to be learning about King David. So before King David was actually King David and he was just a David, he used to play the harp for King Saul and he lived at the palace. And David became friends with King Saul's son, Jonathan, and they were the very best of friends. They played hide and seek together, they wore the same colour t-shirts, they did everything together, they were truly the best of friends. Now when they grew up, Jonathan had a son and he was called Mephibosheth. Now Mephibosheth was 5 years old when the very sad news came that King Saul and Jonathan had both died in battle. Now Mephibosheth's nurse was so frightened of his enemies that he picked him up and ran away. But as she was running away, she accidentally dropped him. Oh dear. Now in the accident, Mephibosheth's legs were very, very badly hurt. And because of his disability, he could never walk again. And as a result of that, he was often very lonely and very hungry. Now, much, much later on, when King David actually was King David, he remembered his best friend, Jonathan. And he said, "Go and find Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. I want to meet him." When he was brought into the presence of the king, David said, "Mephibosheth, your father was my very, very best friend. I want you to come and live with me at the royal palace. I want to take care of you." So every day, for the rest of his life, Mephibosheth was carried into the presence of the king. He ate at the king's table, wore the very, very best of clothes, and was taken care of to the end of his days.
Thanks very much, Lucy. When I was presented with the pronunciation challenge and the amount of times that I knew I'd probably have to say this name, Mephibosheth, I was debating whether to shorten it to something like Mephibo or Bo. So if you hear me trying to shorten it through what I'm about to say, I'm still talking about Mephibosheth, okay? My name's Anthony, in case you don't know me. I'm a member here at Belmont. Before I unpack that story that we've heard, let me just pray for us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word, your divine message to us, so that we can learn more about you, more about your character, and more about how you would like us to live. Thank you that we have this version in English so that we can read it and that we have ears and hearts to understand it. And I pray that you would just you would speak through me now and that we would all be open to what you've got to say to each of us as individuals and as a church. Amen. Right, before I carry on though, if there are some young children around and you want something to colour, there are some pens down the front here, and there's some pictures of the story that we've just seen on the board, on the screens. So if you do want to do that as young children, please come forward and get that. And the rest of you who don't want to colour, can I encourage you to turn to page 299 in the Green Church Bibles? That should be in the chairs in front of you. And the story that Lucy's brought to us on the screens is actually in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and that's the story that we're looking at. Now, while we've just seen the story in cartoon form, I'm quite a fan of gritty films, gritty TV series, and I can very much imagine that this story could be made into a modern-day movie or a Netflix series. Perhaps it's an episode in a series. You know, you could see it now. The story of two families, two kings who become enemies of each other. One true king becomes unlikely friends with the other king's son, Jonathan. Then the king and his son, Jonathan, die in battle. And on hearing this horrible news, this tragic news of his father and grandfather, Mephibo, at the age of 5, suffers a tragic accident that leaves him crippled for the rest of his life. Facing the prospect of hiding for his life and sitting at the bottom of society, the scene is then set and time whizzes on, and then comes the trademark of a great story, the twist. At the start of chapter 9, we see that King David seems for some reason to remember Saul and his family, but perhaps not for the reason that we might expect. Don't forget that David and Saul became bitter enemies, and it wouldn't have been uncommon for the new king, David, to completely wipe out the dynasty of the previous ruling family. But instead, David seeks out some member of Saul's family with the intention to show kindness. There's that word, hesed, that Simon mentioned at the start of the service. He intends to show kindness to anyone who remains of Saul's family. But why does he do that? And I'm sure that's what Mephibo is wondering too, as he enters the king's courts. If you look down at verse 7, it tells us that David had to remind him not to be afraid. And really, that's not surprising, as Mephibo, as Saul's grandson, is technically heir to the throne. He's of the line of Saul. And you can imagine this poor, crippled man who's been hiding for his life, coming before the king, fearing for his life. But David doesn't just say the words, "Don't fear" or "Don't be afraid," but he gives Mephibosheth a reason not to fear. David shows physically an act of kindness by giving back what is rightfully Mephibosheth's, that is, Saul's land. But he goes beyond just giving him what is rightfully his and shows him extreme kindness, unbelievable kindness perhaps, by also letting him eat at the king's table. See that in verse 7. Perhaps the ending scene of this movie or this episode would be years later, and we see David and Mephibo eating and laughing together. Perhaps there'd be a contrasting scene to show how Mephibo has changed in his situation, in his life. He's gone from hiding from the king to eating with him. He's no longer in poverty, but he's privileged. And although at the end of the story, he's still lame in both his legs, now this fact is no barrier to being with the king. Perhaps all this time, while you've been imagining this movie or thinking about those cartoons that we saw, perhaps all this time you've been seeing where I might be going with this. Or perhaps you're a bit distracted. Perhaps you're wondering, why on earth should I care in 2019 about this strange ancient story about an ancient cripple and an ancient king? Well, as Christians, we believe these stories in the Old Testament point forward to Jesus that we read about in the New Testament and the coming of his kingdom. We believe the writing of these stories are true stories, but the description of them are designed for us to imagine ourselves in the place of these characters. We could put ourselves in the shoes of David, who, because of God's not kindness for him or for us, he can show kindness to the lame, the weak, and the poor. Because of God's kindness for us, we can show kindness to the people that we don't get on with. Because of God's kindness for us, we can show kindness to anyone who's not ourselves. Because of God's kindness for us, we can seek out those who to be kind to. But we can also put ourselves in Mephibosheth's shoes. That's a hard sentence to say. We are also Mephibosheth. We are estranged from the true king by the disabling injuries of our sin. Jesus searches for us and invites us to his house. When we first come before the King, Jesus, we may be afraid because we know the authority that Jesus has over sin. But Jesus surprises us with his amazing grace by showing us more kindness than we can ever imagine. More kindness, perhaps, than we think we're worthy of receiving, that we, like Mephibo in verse 8, might say, "Jesus, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" But still, if you read on in the story, and you read on in your story, we receive the provision of the king. We receive back what we lost when we hid from him, and we eat at the table like one of the king's own son. If this all seems a bit of a stretch to you, I'd encourage you to read the parable that Jesus himself talks of, about a great banquet and a master who extends an invitation to the poor and the crippled. And that's in Luke chapter 14, if you want to read that later. I've talked for long enough, so I'm going to stop soon. But before I do, I want you to wonder about yourself. Wonder what version, or perhaps what stage of Mephibo's life are you right now? Perhaps you've been summoned by the king, but you don't know whether to respond to that. Well, I encourage you to see how kind the king is through his actions to Mephibosheth. Perhaps you're this morning before the king, but you can't quite believe how kind the king is being to you, and you can't quite believe that he would offer you, a dead dog, such kindness. Again, I'd like you to invite you to see how the king follows through with his kindness in his actions. Or perhaps you're much later on in the story. Perhaps you've been sat at the king's table for a while now, but perhaps you've just forgotten the kindness that you were shown to get there in the first place. Before the band come back and lead us in some reflective singing, I'd also like to encourage you to humbly accept the kindness of King Jesus. And in the light of that, think of who you can show kindness to this week. Perhaps once you've had a chance to think about that, you could spend 30 seconds talking to the person next to you, talking to the person around you, and think about who can you extend God's kindness to this week.